Hey everyone.
I'm Kaya, Thrifty Redhead on Instagram.
And I'm Caitlin, Did I Thrift That Closet on Instagram.
And welcome to Flip That John.
We are two full-time resellers from Philly, and this is a weekly podcast that explores the ins and outs of reselling while linking arms with the reselling community to help grow and learn from each other.
We're excited to connect with you and new voices that will help to inspire and motivate you in your reselling journey. Join us as we learn more about ourselves, each other, and our ever-growing awesome reselling community.
Hey guys, and welcome to episode 16 of Flip That John podcast. If you're new, hi, hello. And if you're coming back, hello to our tiny hand gang. As always, make sure you hit the thumbs up, click the bell, and tell us how your week is going down below in the comments. Don't forget to join the tiny hand gang by hitting the subscribe button on YouTube. And if you're joining us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or any other streaming platforms, join the tiny hand gang by clicking the follow button. We love to know what y'all are enjoying or want to talk about, so make sure you leave a review or a voice memo by clicking the link in our episode description to share your thoughts about our topics. With that being said, let's jump into it. Guys, we have a great episode today. I'm so freaking excited. I know I said that last time, but I'm always excited when I have these episodes. And we have a very special episode today because we have another guest for y'all today. You know, this month we were talking about mental health awareness. So we reached into the people that we really value their opinions on mental health, their advice, their processes and journeys. And today we have another PA person in the building today. I loop her into Philly. I loop you into Philly. I mean, you in the suburbs, but
we
open you with open arms, right? Philly gang gang. We have Alyssa in the building today. Whoa, 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 whoa. So many air horns. I'm so excited to have Alyssa on today, guys. She has just had a great perspective. She is another person that I really value having conversations with in regards to mental health. She's an amazing person, and I can't wait for you guys to be able to listen to her. With that being said, you want to drop some fast facts? You just want to share some stuff about you, introduce yourself to the viewers.
Sure. My name's Alyssa. Most people call me Liz. So my handle is Liz_thrift32. I usually resell on Depop, Poshmark, and eBay. And lately I've been selling on Instagram also. I'm from Pennsylvania, just like Caitlin said, kind of near Philly, but not really. and I started in like 2019 for reselling. The other important thing to know about me, I have a psychology bachelor's degree and sociology degree, and I'm going towards a master's degree. It was in counseling, so I did work as an outpatient counselor for a little bit, and now I'm starting a new degree track, which is Master's of Education in Student Affairs. Super official sounding. So I do a lot of grad school and essay writing and also reselling.
Oh my God. Lissa was like, let me just drop some big brain energy for you. Y'all, that was a lot of titles.
She said, let me just give you all of my titles.
And we're like, yes, go like, off, Liz.
She's goals. That's goals.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I'm always like hyped when you're like talking about school stuff. I think and when Kaya talks about school stuff, y'all inspire me. I'm like, I need to get some more education going on in this brain. I'm gonna loop you in as Philly because, you know, I just view you as Philly fam. That's a lot of stuff. And I know that we really talk about, we have a relationship, we're pretty open about mental health, why we talk about mental health, and communicate it with it. I would love to pick your brain about how you kind of balance doing all of that in school and reselling, and then how do you kind of find a balance to take care of yourself?
What a great question. Well, I guess when COVID started, I kind of stopped taking care of myself, honestly, which I'm sure a lot of us did stop taking care of ourselves. But usually for me, it's just like time management. I always try to have some type of like socializing, whether it's, you know, a date night with my boyfriend every week or friends. And obviously COVID kind of affected the socialization thing. But another big one is that like reselling is fun for me. So that's almost like my self-care in a way. So usually if I'm like super stressed from school and my other job and everything, I'll just go thrift shopping, which I guess isn't really a good self-care method, but that and therapy. I've been going to therapy probably since like eighth grade. So I don't know how long ago that was now, but I'm 23 now. So I think I was about 13 or 14. So yeah, I go to therapy once a week, which is super helpful. I'm a really big advocate for getting counseling, whether or not you're having like, you know, actual mental health issues or you just need someone to talk to. I think that's super important. Yeah, just time management and kind of being aware of when you need to take a step back and take care of yourself again.
Yes, time management, something I think we're all trying to handle on. You know, I think it's funny too with time management too. Like you said, I think a lot of people are in that boat when COVID happened, or what I would say the Panera Bread happened. You know, you have this window of opportunity to have that time to kind of work on yourself. But I think maybe that's like a lot of people stopped, or a lot of people were like intimidated to be in that spot because maybe you have to like confront and process things that you've never done before. So I think that's just a really, I love that take because it's so honest, because I think a lot of people, you know, I think a lot of people did start taking care of themselves, but maybe a lot of people stopped at the same time. I think that's a very real, you know, realistic view on it. I love that you know this. I love that you are very much about, you know, talking to a professional. I also love the fact that you said whether you have like a mental health struggle or mental health illness, or if you just need to talk to somebody. And I know that you definitely have experience with like learning about that. Do you find that the education that you've learned from that time going to school for counseling has shaped how you feel about counseling even more from that aspect?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Because I was always an advocate for counseling. But it's almost kind of like you view a counselor as maybe not a robot, but you're just like, okay, this person's trained to help me. Like, it's that's fine, they'll help me. But then like I was a counselor for, I guess it was 4 months, 5 months. And it is hard. Like, it's really hard to sit there and kind of help people, like strangers, work through their own problems. You get a lot of, they call it transference. So you get a lot of, like, you know, connecting that person's issues to maybe something you've experienced. And it's really hard because you kind of have to work through your own issues while you're helping other people work through theirs. And it can kind of bring up a lot of stuff. Like for me, it brought up past traumas that I thought I already resolved. So it's really difficult. And I think, I mean, I decided it wasn't for me because I realized I had those traumas still to work on. But it really made me appreciate the counselors I've had in the past and the one I have now, because it's really hard to be a counselor. And I think a lot of the times they're not valued as much as they should be, because they are. They're like, they're mental health professionals, and a lot of people, I don't know, don't really see them as one, or they're kind of stigmatized as if they're trying to take your money and everything. But I mean, a lot of the experience I've had, they do really try to help. It's super hard, though, to take care of yourself and take care of others at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's really relatable because, you know, I think it was like, I just saw someone's TikTok about this. She's like actually a therapist. And it was like, they were being like their therapist and them as a therapist. And they were like, yeah, 12 o'clock doesn't work for me because I have my own clients. And the therapist was like, what? Like, you know, because I think you kind of forget that people, you know, even the people that have it all together still deserve to have support because nobody really ever has it 100% together. And I think that transference thing is so true. I think it's more, it happens more often than people think. I think that can happen when you're a counselor, but I also think that can just happen if you are, you know, providing a safe space for your, like, a friend or a partner or a family member, and you're trying to provide that support. I know that I've been in that shoes myself, and so now that I have, like, an actual word to it, I'm like, oh, this makes sense. Like, so I feel like a lot of people too, like you said, there's a stigma to it, but I think a lot of people maybe are just kind of, and you have to come to this point on your own. Like nobody can push you into, like, you're not going to get out of, correct me if I'm getting this wrong, Liz, because you have more experience than me. I mean, I have my own personal experience with counselors, but you know, you're not going to get the full extent of the work unless you really want to do it, right? Like, it's like what they kind of say, like, you got to work like it doesn't work unless you work it. You know, I could sit here and do all the step work I want, and if I'm not, like, really trying to put it in or be like work the process, I'm not gonna, you know, get out of it what I get out of it. So obviously you have to come to that point, you know, where you can, like, start that journey with someone. And so I'm just randomly throwing this to you, Alyssa. Is there any tips that you would suggest as a way to really kind of help you kind of get your foot, your toe in the pool, say for an analogy, if someone is like, I want to start talking to a counselor, but I don't really know how to start talking to it. Like, or I don't even know where to start. Do you have any recommendations for that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, when you were talking about, you know, you kind of have to come to the conclusion on your own. One of the things they teach us when you're a counselor is that you kind of have to, like, meet people where they're at. I'm having a brain fart, but there's, like, actual stages of, you know, what someone could be in counseling. And some of them are just completely resistant, you know, the ones who are being, like, told to go to counseling for what maybe legal issues or just their parents or whatever. And the counselor kind of has to meet them where they're at, which can be super difficult, because you just kind of want to help them work on their problems right away. But people might not realize that they do have, like, problems they want to work on. And then I've had, like, a few people in my life who are like, I know you've had a counselor for years now. How do you even find one? And I mean, first of all, if you have insurance, usually you can go on, like, the website and see. But most counselors should have, like, a website and a bio on, like, what they specialize in. Like, if you've experienced trauma, you probably want a trauma certified counselor. Because they can help you walk through that without kind of, like, triggering you at all about your traumas. And you can also, like, the thing they tell us is the first session with a counselor, they're not just doing your intake, you're also interviewing them. Like, you guys are trying to figure out if you guys are, like, compatible, and you don't have to go with the first counselor that you know, talk to. If you're like, I don't really like this counselor, then maybe switch to another one. When I was younger, I went through, like, I think it was 8 counselors before I found the one that I stayed with for a while. So sometimes it is trial and error, which can be frustrating, which is another reason why people might be turned off to going to counseling. But you kind of have to just, like, take it as a process and go step by step. I like to say that to work towards bigger goals, you have to do small goals first. So, you know, the first small goal can be, let me find my counselor first. And then you can start tackling what you want to talk about in counseling. And maybe that'll kind of subside the fears a little. Instead of, like, you're not required to meet with a counselor. And the first session, you just tell them everything. Because it takes time and you're not going to be forced to tell them every single thing you want to talk about.
Yeah, I think, Bliss, I wish I heard that like about 10 years earlier in my life. Because I think that's the thing is people feel like they're obliged to just go with the first thing. But you're really building a relationship. And like you said, too, like, you know, you're building trust with somebody. You're in a vulnerable position. So you're kind of like, you know, you have a right to gently go into that process and find someone that fits for you. Because I had a great counselor when I was younger. And then I've had really not great counselors. And I say that for myself. And I think that also different things came into play. That was also a counselor that was on school property. So they were just like, it was a revolving freaking door. You know, at that point, like, and I can't really be mad at that person because that's just the job that, you know, they don't have control over having to fix an entire campus, you know, like, they don't have control over the door at that point. But I think, like, that's a really great place to start. I love that. Start small. It's like, okay, you know, it's like an interview process, you know, because you are essentially hiring them for a job. Right. So you want to make sure that you're getting that. I think that's also a really valid point about insurance. I know that there's multiple options right now for people that do not, like myself, that do not have insurance. I think that's like a crazy threshold to be like, you can't get support if you don't have insurance, like, you know. But I think that's like a really great place to start. I think you just definitely drop some gems in there. One question I want to ask you too, that I asked this question last week with Emily, and I think it's a really great question, is like, okay, so when it comes to like mental health, what do you want to see? And when it comes to the top between mental health and reselling, right? When we're tying that together, what do you want to see mental health get better at when it comes into the intersection between reselling and mental health? What would you really like people to maybe do more often? What would you really like to see it kind of be perceived in, or conversations to start? Does that make sense? I had to throw, does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, when I'm like usually scrolling through, you know, all the reselling Instagrams, there really isn't much like conversation about mental health. First of all, I've really only seen it when I started like talking to you guys. Like, you guys are one of the only people I've noticed that actually do talk about mental health. And it's awesome to see it kind of, you know, spreading to like all the guests you've talked to, and Emily and everything. I mean, for me, I would just like to be able to, like, in my Instagram lives, I try to incorporate mental health. So, yeah, I'm selling things, but I also try to talk to my viewers and be like, how are you guys doing? Like, how are you really doing? Like, how's your mental health doing? And I also try to advertise, like, donating to different, like, charities for suicide awareness and everything. Because I have noticed, like, you know, sometimes you get those like weird comments on like a Poshmark listing where people are just mean, and I think, like, I guess the reselling community, like, everyone should start understanding that, like, we all have our own mental health struggles, whether it's diagnosed or not. Like, everyone feels some sort of anxiety one way or another. Some it is diagnosed, but yeah, I guess it's just kind of starting to talk about it in general, because I think there's a big lack of even discussing it in the first place. And I think having like a podcast like this is kind of like an awesome step towards it.
Do you think, so branching off of that, because you know, I love to talk about mental health. You know, I'm a mental health advocate. I love to educate, but I also love to educate myself, right? I love to share that process, but by no means do I have 100% figured out. what you just said, like, with in regards to communication, do you feel like people are maybe scared to approach the topic because they just don't want to say the wrong thing when it comes to mental health? Do you feel like that's maybe a barrier that's preventing it? Or do you feel like the barrier of communication is that people maybe just don't see it?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I think there are some people who, like, genuinely, like, there's some people I have in my life who have never really gone through, like, mental health struggles. So they kind of want to be sensitive to talking about it. Like, say with me, where I've had a ton of mental health struggles. They just don't want to, you know, say the wrong thing and maybe trigger you or offend you. But I also think the important thing is, like, if you do say the wrong thing, you also need those people who are gonna not just, like, lash out and be like, you're saying you're ignorant, like, you don't know. You need those people who just educate them, where you can just be like, hey, you know, that's not correct, but here's the right, you know, thing to say. So I think it's almost like communicating those who don't know and those who do know, and kind of like trying to teach each other in a way, which, you see that with, like, politics and everything. It's really hard to do.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's a really good point. I think one way that I'm trying to view it, because I think people think it's such a black and white topic, right? Like, well, this is what it is in this. I mean, and no doubt, right? Education, facts, like, that stuff is the black and white of it. But there is a lot of gray space when it comes into mental health. And I also want to point out the fact, like, we just had that conversation with Emily, and communication between me and Emily is super important. And we don't even have, we're not on the same path at all. And so I think also too, if you're a mental health advocate, if you work in mental health, or, like, you want to kind of create this conversation and you do have a story that you are ready to tell people, that also that communication between the other people in the community of mental health is just as important too as the, like, people that are coming in to learn about it. So I think there's a balance too, where you have to communicate with people that maybe aren't struggling with the same things, but do struggle with mental health or have a mental health illness, and that you feel safe and comfortable with, first of all, to communicate with that. But I think there needs to be communication on that level. And then there's also that outside communication where maybe someone's coming in, they're like, I don't really know anything about this, but I want to be support. So let me ask you, from your perspective, clearly your perspective, this is about how you and your stuff, in your journey and your process, how do you handle having those conversations, communicating with people, maybe, you know, that aren't at the extent of, like, a relationship that you have with me, right? Where, you know, you can, like, it's an open door, you can say anything. How do you handle having communication in a proper way that's, like, safe for you and still keeps your boundaries intact, right? Like, still gives you ability to educate or let that person know?
Usually for me, I'm kind of an open book at this point in my life. When I was in, like, high school, I had severe social anxiety, so I probably would not tell anyone, like, any of the things that were running through my brain. But now at this point in my life, I'm just kind of an open book, and I'm almost like, all right, well, if you don't want to hear about my mental health issues, then, you know, maybe you just don't have the space for me. Because I like to say that, like, if I'm going to be a part of your life, you're going to hear about my mental health struggles. That's just what's going to happen. But I guess if it's, like, you know, trying to educate someone who I might not be as close to or friendly with, I just kind of try to tell them, like, hey, you know, I'm not trying to, I guess, make fun of you or be mean. I just wanted to share my experience, since I've experienced mental health struggles, and I've studied some of it in school, and then, you know, just kind of tell them in like a nice way. The best I could explain it is like, you know, even in like the, when you look at the LGBTQ plus community, there's things that like people don't know. Like I'm still, you know, researching and everything. Like a good example is people who don't really like know much about non-binary, that category, is like, you kind of have to just try to educate them, but not be like, you know, you're stupid for not knowing that, because they're not. It's just, it, you know, like mental health and like LGBTQ plus stuff like that. It's kind of like, you know, it's become more new, like more, I guess, modernized. So there's still some people who they're not going to know as much. And it's kind of our jobs to like properly educate, but also not like hate on them for not knowing.
Yeah, I think you have to find that balance. And also here's the point to it too, like culture and everything, life is always changing. So mental health is like, you know, there's like, you know, the DSM and all that, you know, all that stuff, like, but that also changes over time. Like there's, you know, things that get added into that addition, and culture and life is always changing. So mental health is always going to change. I mean, I'm always just, I'm looking at 2020. That's like brought a whole new stuff into the mental health community, right? I've never lived through a Panera Bread, you know? I don't think any of us have lived through that. And then you also have the scope from, you know, us millennials, but you have the scope from Gen Z. You have the elderly people, which is like a totally different, you know, trauma for them. And they're also coming from a generation where maybe mental health was not spoken to the extent that it is now. And so imagine trying to process that experience, and then also trying to break down these habits of like, it's not okay for me to talk about it. So the way I kind of tell people to, yeah, like definitely don't diminish people if they don't understand, because they're already coming for education. And if you're opening the door to mental health in your platforms, you have to know that you're opening the door to everybody, right? So you're opening the door to people that maybe have similar experiences, people that don't have similar experiences, you know, people that maybe you're opening the door to people that, like Emily said last episode, don't even believe that mental health is a thing, you know? And so you're opening this door. And the way I'm kind of viewing it is, when I discuss mental health, is like, we're all sitting at a table, right? I'm always sitting at a table with y'all. But I'm not expecting, like, I think I said this in my stories yesterday, I'm not expecting those people to understand it, because I don't even understand myself. I mean, listen, how many times I say, does that make sense in this podcast, right? Like, I don't even understand myself 99.9% time. Kaya, what were you about to say? Because I know you are coming with some commentary on that line.
I was just going to say, and does that make sense? Take 149.
I mean, that's just me vocalizing how my brain is. I don't get it. But I'm not, the perspective I'm looking at is, we're sitting at a table, I'm talking this, I'm not expecting you to understand it, but there needs to be that mutual respect. And if you're someone, like, you know, that I consider close or a safe place, or like I've opened up to this information with you, or we kind of like have this thing where I can discuss it, or even with like Marty, I don't expect him to understand. But what I do expect is that I can say what I need, and there's a respect for that. So, and whatever that person needs, right? Like, whether you need space, whether you need a hug, whether you need I think one thing too is like, when someone comes to you and they're like, hey, I'm just having like a shitty mental health day, but I don't want to talk about it. I think that's like the hardest experience, because for me, I'm like, I want to help you. I want to fix. I want to talk about it. But that's not what that person needs, right? That person just needs a place to not talk about it. And then maybe you go back to it, you put a pin in it, you go back to it. But I think there just has to be that when you open that door, it's an never ending talk. It's not like you just open it and you're like, all right, chapter closed. You know, like, just because we talk about it on this podcast doesn't mean I'm not going to like, I'm going to stop talking about it with other people, right? I think people have to know that it's an ongoing conversation, especially like with other people that you talk to about mental health. It's not like one day and then like we said last time, you're not fixed after one conversation. Mental health is about also maintaining that through your life and whatever you're going through in life. But I think that's what's really great. And I'm so glad that there are like people out here like Alyssa where she's just like, I'm going to talk about it. If you don't like it, like, you know, like that's fine, you know? So what do you think are ways that maybe, Alyssa, I'm just throwing these questions at you, throwing some spaghetti at the wall. What do you think are ways that maybe the reselling community can incorporate other than like communication? You know, we'll obviously communicate, but like, how do you think they can start doing that by using the community and reselling? Is there like things that you would like to see other than like, you know, maybe more podcasts or series? Is there something that you would like to see the reselling community can do?
Yeah, I think podcasts are like super important, especially now how popular they are. It's like the more mental health podcasts there are, I think the easier it would be to like spread the word. You know, like I'm in a group called NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And we were, you know, raising funds for like suicide awareness and everything. And I took that and I ran with it and just started raising funds like on my, you know, reselling platform, which, you know, some people might have been like, that has nothing to do with mental health. But like I took a bunch of the proceeds I made from reselling and put it towards, you know, that. So I try to just like incorporate the stuff that I do for advocacy and put it in reselling. And the thing that like, you know, us three do is like we're in these like community group chats, which I think is awesome. Where you kind of have this like group chat to just reach out to, because sometimes if there's something going on in your life, maybe you just like do not want to tell somebody who you're super close to. Or you know, for me, a lot of the times it's probably my anxiety talking, but like, I don't want to be a burden towards like my best friend. So I don't want to share something with her. And it's almost sometimes easier to talk to people you might not be as close to. So like having that group chat and being like, hey, you know, can I share something that's kind of been going on? And, you know, people are pretty welcoming towards it. So just like community chats, and I think it'd be awesome. Maybe one day I'll do it eventually, but like, you know, once a week on Instagram Live, instead of like focusing on reselling, just focus on like mental health chats. Kind of like this podcast, how you guys are doing mental health for the month, but you know, just like once a week on Instagram Live, you just talk about mental health. Kind of make people more aware of it. The other thing I was going to say a while ago was that some people are like, they might just like tiptoe around the idea of mental health. But the other thing is people might just not feel like they can talk about their mental health issues. Because kind of like what you said, it's culture. Like maybe their culture has kind of taught them to hide their feelings. And yeah, they might just, you know, not feel comfortable sharing it or never been able to share it. And they're kind of like, you know, how do I share this on Instagram? So I think having like private chats is a good way if you don't want to, you know, advertise your mental health struggles. But yeah, I think definitely just, you know, talking more about mental health within reselling, donating and everything is super important.
Hell yeah, for the advocacy.
I think that is so great, like the culture and experience and like how we all take it very different, because I can speak on the Black community and my personal Black community. I don't want to speak for every Black person in the world, but my family, we didn't talk about this. It was like you can express yourself and show emotion, but it was like tough kind of skin. It's like, oh, you're hurt, like why did you fall down, or like, no, my feelings, oh okay, you'll be fine. It was like it was weird to talk about your feelings. And I guess that's why I am how I am now. I'm a lot different because I have my own kids and I want to teach them different. But like I tell Caitlin all the time, if someone would just burst out and cry in front of me, I'll be like, oh no, what do I do? Like, I don't know what to do. Woo-woo-woo. Like, do I give you a hug? Do I touch you? Like, let's talk. But I'm a big communicator. Like, I love to send me a voice memo. Okay, but if you do it in front of me, I will give you the most awkward look. And it's not to be rude or mean. It's just because I don't know what to look like. Like, I'm probably that person that will giggle at a funeral, not because I'm laughing about it, but because it's awkward. I don't know what to do. Let me laugh. Like, it's just very, very, like, I'm a weird person, if you guys didn't know. if you didn't know, I'm very
weird. Look at it. You're not weird. That's just you. Like, that's... Yeah,
I just don't know how to, you know, do that. So when it comes to, like, mental health, it's very eye-opening. And it's a lot to think about. And now, like, when certain things happen, and it's like, oh, that's what that is. Like, I learned it from, you know, reading different posts and listening to a lot of mental health podcasts and Clubhouse rooms. Like, I joined those, not in secret, but it's like a me thing. Like, I don't want to talk about it to no one unless, you know, I'm comfortable with that person.
Yeah, sometimes that's, it's super
That's my TED Talk.
Yeah. No, and then kind of like, oh, and then I got Kaylin, and she's just like, yo, buckle up, sister.
the other thing about, like, is for some reason, like, when it's in person, it's so much more, like, raw, I guess, and vulnerable. And it's interesting because no one really talks about it, but I guess from, like, counseling classes, the one thing we've also learned is, like, if a person, you know, like, you're in person and a person starts crying, they might just need silence. Like, silence is also super important. There's been many times where I'm in a counseling session and, like, I just start crying and the counselor just sits there and it's super uncomfortable because you're like, why aren't you talking? But then it makes it comfortable because it means that, you know, they're listening, but you can just keep talking if you want, or you don't talk at all. And maybe the silence is what you need, you know, especially if maybe you grew up with a lot of trauma, like regarding like your household, you know, your parents fighting all the time or something like that. Maybe you've never had silence before. So I think, If someone like cries in person, maybe they do need a hug. Like, that would be awesome if they do need a hug, but maybe they just need like silence also, which I try to do. Sometimes people will be like, why aren't you talking? But I think it's super important.
I also just want to point out, I just told Kai, I was like, I just love that you spoke that truth because it, you know, I come on here and I'm like, let me talk about all this stuff. And I'm like, just like word vomiting all the time about stuff, right? But that's a total different perspective. And it takes a lot of work to unpack that. You know, it takes a lot of work to unpack. Not neglecting, but like kind of shoving those things. And then to say like, I just want to say I'm proud of you, too, because to say, like, I don't know how to do this, but I'm working on it and you're working a process, that's, like, a huge step. Like, I know Alyssa can say that, too. Like, that's a huge step to, like, unpack those things and you're working on yourself and creating, like, that different culture for your kids. So I'm just, like, super proud of you for that. And I also think, like, you said, like, you're like, I'm a weird person. No, that's not weird. That's just you and what you grew up with and as a kid, and that's the habits you grew up with. And I think maybe that's just like what sometimes when I say those things from me, from my perspective, I'm like, that's just me like being self-deprecating because I'm like, oh, I'm just weird. Like I'm just a weird person. But that's not weird. I think there's a listener somewhere that listens to this episode and is like, you know what? I don't get it from Caitlin and Alyssa's perspective. I get it from Kaya's perspective. You know, and that's what I'm saying, like, mental health is, It's a cornucopia. I don't know why, but I'm picturing like a cornucopia, like, you know, on Thanksgiving where it's like everything jammed into this thing. And so you have different things that create it. You know, it's not just people that are vocal. I'm vocal about my stuff, but not everybody is vocal about that. Not everybody's dealing with a mental health illness. They're dealing with, how do I unpack these things from what I've grown up with? So I just want to say I'm proud of you, because that is the truth. And people out there are in those shoes, and they need to hear that just as much as what I deal with. You know, I think that's like my perspective on it. So I just wanted to.
You're just the sweetest doll ever. And just like a side note, like, you see how I say it's weird? Because that's what I'm just like reflecting, like, this is what I grew up. It's like, this is what was, how it was taught to me. So that's why I'm trying to break the habit. But it's like, that's prime example, you guys. Like, I grew up the way where I was surrounded, where I grew up, and this is what I've known. Like, you're acting like that, you're acting weird. Like, that's weird. And it's not weird. Here comes the education from Alyssa. Thank you. I really appreciate, like, I'm telling you, like, I appreciate it, because this is serious. Like, mental health is a very serious thing, and it's very underestimated. It's, people are uneducated. They don't know, just like me. And I want to use the right terms, and I want to know why I feel the way I feel. Like, why do sometimes I just be frozen? Like, what is the thing that Emily taught us last
the
week?
Halt.
What is it?
Halt. The halt.
Yeah. Like, I swear it was like a, it was like a freaking bomb exploded in my head. It was like, oh my God. Like, I went upstairs and I told my husband about it. Like, that's how excited I was. Like, I was ready to tell anyone, like, walking down the street, like, hey, do you know what halt is? Like, just explaining, because if it's like, hey, I didn't know this and I feel like this, I know someone else out there feels like this and doesn't know what this means.
Oh yeah, that's when people are like, it's, listen, you know how like when people, I think we can agree with this, where like people write like, you're not alone, and people are like, that's so corny.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, like, people need to hear that, because it's not just like, I'm not alone dealing with addiction, body dysmorphia, any of that stuff. Like, I'm not alone. But also, Kaya, you're not alone with that, because there are also other people dealing with that. And so mental health does not look one way, guys. It is not just like everything in a box. And, you know, I think it's funny, like, you know, we were talking to Lisa last week, where, like, we had to explain what the word snowflake meant to Kaya, because she's never heard it before. And I was like,
sensitive snowflake.
I was like, oh, I can't wait to see the comments on this one. But
I think that's just like an inner circle, like an inner cultural thing. Like, you two just knew what that meant. And I'm just like, what is that? I never, as many, like, Caucasian people I've hung around,
mm-hmm.
never. Maybe they just didn't say it in front of me. They were like, she's not ready for this.
What would you recommend for somebody who says, listens to this podcast, and you know, feels like they want to start advocating for mental health in a way? What do you suggest as a process of where for them to start, and, like, you know, maybe even references of where to start to get education on how to get better at those moments?
I guess first of all, like, educate yourself. You know, even if you want to, like, start educating others, I think you also need to educate yourself first. That could just be like watching documentaries, or let me see if I can think of some websites. I mean, NAMI, it's just NAMI, I think it's .org. They have a ton of resources on mental health. Whether it's like, you know, joining like discussion boards, or just reading blogs, or watching documentaries, going to info sessions and everything. YouTube videos, you know, I used to watch a lot of just like people talking about their own experiences. Like, I forget her username, but, you know, I didn't know much about like borderline personality disorder, so I started watching stuff on it. Because there's a lot of mental illnesses that are super falsely described through movies and pop culture, especially dissociative identity disorder.
Preach, Alyssa. I'm so here for this.
So if you want to educate yourself, don't go watch, like, you know, a scary movie about multiple personality disorder, because that's not what it's called anymore. But, you know, go watch, like, documentaries and make sure everything's, like, peer reviewed. That's what we say when we in counseling and psychology, is like, it needs to be peer reviewed, like, make sure there's things to back it up. You couldn't even read the DSM, which is literally just the symptomology and diagnosis of mental illnesses, even though there's still a lot of symptoms and diagnoses that aren't in the DSM. I mean, yeah, you can read books. There's, I forget what it's called. I think there's a book called You Should Talk to Someone About It. I need to read it, but it's about a therapist who goes to a therapist. Just like educating yourself. There's also a website, To Write Love on Her Arms, which I've literally gone on since I was like 12. Yeah, they do like suicide awareness and everything. So just like find peer-reviewed, like, you know, backed up websites to educate yourself. And then even if it's sharing like Instagram posts on self-care methods or your own personal story, it's super important. Like I said earlier, you know, go to your own counselor, even if you aren't really struggling at the moment. Maybe you want to talk about some things in your past. I mean, that's what the counselors are there for. Psychiatrists, just, yeah, I guess all things mental health, start educating yourself is probably the most important.
I love that. I love that you brought up in this episode, just like, you don't have to have like something so big to really work, like, make sure that you're taking care of yourself, right? Like, because we all know, like, I'm a Candyland of like everything, right? Like, which ride do we want to go on today, brain? But I could just have a day where I just need to talk to someone, you know? You don't have to, like, I feel like people think that, like, mental health is, like, only for people that maybe fall under certain labels. No, it's, like, it falls under everybody as a human being. Like, we all have to take better care of ourselves at one point in our lives. So, I definitely agree with Alyssa on the NAMI. I love NAMI. The DSM, read the current edition. Read the current
DSM 5. It's the fifth. Don't yeah, read the fourth.
Because you'll be like, oh, and definitely there are parts in that. I mean, being the DSM have some conflicting ideas on some stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are some things that are a little, even the people in the field sometimes don't agree with the DSM, but it's still important to, like, at least know about it.
Yeah, and the reliable sources. And I just feel like if you're at the point, if you are coming to the resolution yourself that you want to learn more, you know, use those reliable sources so that you can educate. And like Alyssa said, educate yourself before you educate other people. You're going to always keep learning too when it comes to mental health. It's nothing that ever just like everyone always figures it out, right? It's like, it's a consistent, like, it makes me think about, y'all ever see Elf? And when he's in that scene where he's like running through the doors, like the roll, the
yes,
that's like, gonna do that.
Where he's just like, ah! That to me is like how I view education of mental health, because the doors just like never stop. It's just a revolving thing because circumstances change, you know, things, life changes, culture changes, even like your process and your journey changes, you know. So I really love the fact that we were able to. Liz, are you cool with people appropriately messaging you to communicate with you for stuff?
Of course. I would say the one thing I do like to say, even to like friends and everything, there's some things that you probably like you need to get like like professional's opinion. So, you know, obviously if it's just like talking about mental health or my own experience and everything, yeah, of course. But I would recommend if it's something like, you know, if you're feeling suicidal, or, you know, something along the lines of that, of course, like, you know, talk to your friends, try to get that support and try to, you know, get out of that headspace. But if it's like detrimental to your mental health, then it's super important to also like get professional help. That's what they're there for. But yeah, my chat is always open.
I love it. Bliss, I just love the human you are. I'm so glad that we connect on so many levels. I mean, reselling, Instagram Live, fill a bag, you know, but also just like talking about mental health. I think that's so, I mean, it's definitely made an impact in me and my process. And I know that it's impacted many of people. So I'm very appreciative of your openness and your acceptance.
There you go.
I've only had one cup of coffee today, guys. So acceptance of people, no matter what it is, you know, just having that space. But like you said, yeah, if you are, you need it, like, if, you know, get, have your support, your love from your safe places, but also please get professionals help if you do need that. I love that, because it is very, you can have both, guys. You can have both. You live in a world where you can get professional help and you can have love and support from your friends and your people that support you. Like, you don't have to choose one or another. I feel like people think like they have to choose one or another all the time. You can have both. It's a magical world.
I also love, like, I also tell people, if you don't know how to get professional help, then reach out to me. Like, you know, if for some reason you don't know how to start looking for a therapist or, you know, finding like support groups and everything. Also, there's support groups for like everything. But of course, like if you need help finding those professional resources, I'll send you like 30 links if you want. So my friends always reach out if they need, like, you know, some professional resources as well.
I'm always just so proud when people do that, because I know how hard it was for me to come to that conclusion, and it's very vulnerable to be in that point. So definitely, yeah, 30 links and more, you know, like, but I just want to thank you so much, Alyssa. Please reach out to, like, I mean, go follow Alyssa. I mean, she does awesome fill bags too, like, side note, like, you know, so definitely make sure you check her out on Instagram.
Kaya, yeah, you definitely copped her some stuff. Copped some stuff from Alyssa's filler bag. I just throw it in a bag.
Throw it in a bag. But definitely go reach out and follow her. Appropriately message her. I just want to say thank you so much, Alyssa. You're an amazing human being. I love you so much. I love you 3,000.
Thanks for
having me. We love you 3,000. Hey THG, thank y'all for coming back and hanging out with Caitlin and I on another episode of Flip That John. This episode was amazing. Having this conversation about mental health awareness with Alyssa at @lis_thrift32 on Instagram was great. You guys, if you haven't already, check her out and give her a follow. We know that this episode has sparked a lot of conversation, and we hope it keeps you growing within your reselling business. Next week, come back and hang out with Caitlin and I as we sit down and do a table talk Q&A as we close out our monthly topic of mental health awareness. Again, you guys, thank you for always listening with us, and please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our YouTube channel and give us some feedback. See you next week.